Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
In this room, we allow foolish things to take our time, to take our thought processes. Not just you, me too. We waste time. We allow Satan to play racquetball in our head, and we allow Satan to play racquetball with our children, and we allow him to play racquetball in our homes. We allow him to come and kill, steal, and destroy. And you say, I don't allow him, Pastor. I don't know how this is happening. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we have to be aware and vigilant to what Satan's plans are for us. We are approaching, if not already in the middle of, the end times. Just look around. I love some of the amazing people that have been through world wars and all of that. I still have some amazing people in my life. They said, we thought Jesus was coming back in World War II. We thought he was coming back in the Korea. We thought he was coming back, you know, when the hippie movement was happening. But I'll tell you, I've never seen what I've seen now. He's on his way. He's not just coming back. He's on his way. And as he's on his way, Satan is working hard to take us out. And I don't think that we as Christians understand how important we are and what a threat we are and how much Satan hates us and how much he works to tear us down, to depress us, to take us out, to put us in a place of a lethargic thinking, to cut us and tell us, oh, you're nobody. Nobody even sees you. And I'm here tonight to tell you that is not true. God sees you. He loves you. He knows you. You're special to him. And so we as the body of Christ have to stand and we have to say no to Satan. We have to understand Satan's tactics. And in order to do this, I've got to be aware and awake of what is happening around me. And it has been maybe a few months that I've been noticing some things in the spirit. And I've been really bothered by it, and I prayed about it, and I brought it to the throne room. I brought it to the throne room. And last Sunday, I left church on Sunday morning, and I said, that was frustrating. Because the week before, I don't know if any of you were here, but there was such a move of God on that Holy Spirit night, youth camp, the mornings. It was like you could touch God. But then the next week, it was like pulling teeth, trying to get people to even want to come to church. And I thought, Lord, what is happening? The whole rest of the week turned into a fight. It was such a spiritual battle. We lost people. And when I say lost, I mean they died. We had hard funerals. We had staff fighting and biting and devouring each other. Pastor Dan and I were supposed to go away on Wednesday. I think it was Wednesday and Thursday. We had put this on our calendar months ago because we were going to get away to pray. And we need to get the direction of what God wants to do with the Rock for you and your families. We had to get a vision for what God wants to do for 2026. Because he knows what the future holds. We don't. And this is his church, not ours. You are not our people. You are his people. And so we were humbling ourselves, and as we were praying, we had to come back into the office. I'm going to just tell you some family business. And we had to get on our staff. And we had to say, what are you doing? And this came out of my spirit, man. And then after all this happened, I was praying about tonight, and the Lord said, it wasn't just the staff. It's the body of Christ as a whole. So remind them. Remind them of who they are. Remind them of what Satan does to come and divide and to conquer and to overtake and to dethrone you off of the kingdom of God into his hand so that he can torment you and get you to say no to God and deny Christ. You see, Satan's plan, the whole time, he's the ruler of this world. He only knows what God allowed him to rule over, and that is small, and yes, he may have some supernatural powers, but I'm here to tell you, his power is nothing next to Jesus' power. And I think we forget that as the body of Christ. We want the lovey-dovey message, and we want, you know, oh, I heard somebody say, oh, she's just in our face looking. I'm in your face because I love you so much that if you were running in the middle of the street, I would be screaming at you too, get out of the street. And tonight, I feel like I'm screaming at you as a church to say, wake up to the enemy's devices. Because he's coming after us, church. He's dividing us, and he's getting us to turn on each other. And it's demonic, and it's the plan of Satan. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, stay alert and watch out for this great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Will you be that someone? Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. This is the year of strength. Remember that your family of believers all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. Church, we haven't even begun to suffer. You might think your life is hard now, but as you say yes to Jesus, Satan hates you more. That shouldn't put fear on you, because I'm about to teach you what you do against Satan. You don't need to be afraid of him. You need to stand up against him. You don't need to let him take you out. You don't need to let him take your kids. You don't need to let him take your family. You don't need to let him rob you of what God does for you. You see, you got to fight. Ephesians 6:10-12 says, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There's other versions to say we do not wrestle against other humans. Let me tell you something. Your neighbor next door is not your enemy. But the ruler of this world using them is. Your auntie, your mama, your boss. They are not your enemy, but they are being used by Satan to take you out, to allow you to get into bitterness, unforgiveness, rage, angst, gossip. These things will take you out. Why? Because we got to put on our whole armor against the wiles of the devil every single day. Not just once in a while, but every day, every night. All of my children know, I have one that lives in college off campus, off of our home. She's on campus, off of our home campus. And we pray, and I'm always telling you, you pray, you put the armor on. But we pray over her every night. We put on our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, our belt of truth, our sword of the Spirit, our shield of faith, and our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I declare in the name of Jesus that no weapon formed against my children will prosper. And I say it every night, and sometimes I feel like a wound up clock, but I will tell you right now, when I don't pray it, things start happening. Why? Because I'm not geared up. They're not geared up. And I'm training my children young that if mama ain't around to pray it, you better pray it. You better get it in you. You better put on the armor. Because the armor is what keeps you away from the devil's attacks. It's what keeps him away from you. And there better not be cracks in your armor. Because if there's cracks in our armor, if we forgot to put on a piece of our armor, guess what's going to happen? He's going to take us out. He says, don't let the little foxes spoil the vine, is a verse in the Bible. And I've been watching him peck at people. He pecks at them. And they get a little offended here, and then they get a little offended here. And so-and-so didn't say hi to me at church today. And so-and-so sat in my seat. How dare she? So-and-so didn't call me when something happened in my life. And all of a sudden, we're judging everybody. And you don't know what's happening in their life. They might be busy. They might have their own thing going on. They're fighting their own fight. But that's why we come together in church. Because when our faith comes together, there is power in unity. There is strength in unity, and Satan has no place and no room in unity. So you do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against every principality, against all the powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. What does that mean? That means there is a church of satanic worship. And I'm here to tell you, they think they know us, but oh, we know them a little better than they know us. This thing called the Word of God breaks the yoke. It breaks every assignment they have placed. It breaks every division that they want to put in our mind. It breaks against every fiery dart that wants to come against your heart and rob you of the joy of the Lord and the peace of God and the strength of God. Listen to me, you could go through your worst valley, but you can still have and find the joy of the Lord. How do I know that? Because the Word of God tells me. Because he died on that cross so I could. You see, I'm here to remind you tonight, you're not just somebody sitting in a church. You are now engrafted into the army of God. So put on your armor, church. Let's talk about it. Number one, your armor. You got to put on your whole armor. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist, verse 14, with truth. I wore a belt today. Somebody gave me this belt. And I don't know who did. I found it. It might be my kids, actually. I don't really wear belts, so I'm like, this is nice. But I was thinking about the belt when I was coming down here, and I'm like, I'm wearing a belt. I'm not used to wearing a belt. And I'm like, it holds your pants up, right? Or for us girls, it's just cute. But that belt holds us up. It cinches us in. When they had armor, they would tighten their belt to keep on the breastplate, to keep all that armor in place. What is the belt of truth? Truth is God's word. Truth is the salvation that God gave you when he died on that cross for you. Truth is that you are the righteousness of Christ. Truth is that grace is operating in your life. Truth is that peace reigns and rules over the demonic darkness of this hour. We have to put on the truth. And sometimes we forget that. And all of a sudden we're having bad days and we're finding ourselves cussing and we're finding ourselves cursing other people. We're finding ourselves gossiping. Why? Because we are not putting on the truth. Stepping into who we are. We are the righteousness of God. Put on the righteousness of Christ. What does righteousness mean? It means that you are right standing with God. This has been given to you by God. That means that you are no longer seen by Satan, his demons, this world. I don't care what someone spoke over you. I don't care what they have said about you. God says you are holy. God says you are his children. God says that you are anointed. You are sanctified. You are ambassadors. You are the righteousness of Christ Jesus. You put that on, and as you put that on, that armor is going to straighten you out a little bit. You might be like this, but you can't put on a breastplate without straightening out. You see, God is doing something in you. You have the gospel of peace. What is the gospel of peace? The gospel is the power to change any circumstance, any atmosphere. The gospel of peace is life to the dead. It is life to the brokenhearted. It is the peace of God that rules and reigns over anything else that Satan is throwing at people. And you have it. And you got to get out there and tell someone about Jesus. You got to get out there and put your feet to work. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means you walk where Jesus walks. You take Jesus where you go. And you tell someone about the good news of what he's done for you. I was at the nail shop the other day. And my nail lady, she's a little strict. She's very stern. She's a Buddhist. She said, we believe the same way. I said, do we? And she goes, yeah. I said, tell me what we believe that's the same. And she began to talk about death. And I was like, she's like, if people die, why are you guys sad if everybody's going to a good place? And I said, good question. I said, we're not sad that they left and that they're with God. We're sad that we got left behind and they get to go first. And that we're sad of the void that they once had in our life. And now we've got to try and live life in a new way. She goes, okay. She said, you know, what is this heaven and hell? Do you believe in heaven? And I said, yeah, we believe in heaven and hell. And I just began, I turned into Deborah Cobre. I went from Genesis to Revelation. The TV turned off in the nail shop. All the people getting their nails done behind me, it got very quiet. And I began telling the whole nail shop the story of Jesus and who he was and why he loved them. I found myself in a position that I was getting choked up because the love of God filled that nail shop that day. And I looked at her and I said to her, when I got done, as soon as she finished my nails, she looked at me, she said, all done, but she could barely talk. And I said, we're not done yet. Jesus died on a cross for you. And he rose again from the dead, and she rolled her eyes at me. And I went, oh, there we go. And I go, do you want to know what happened while he died those 3 days? And she said, what? I said, he went to hell. And he took back the keys of sin and death that we talked about with Adam and Eve. And he took it back because no longer does Satan have authority or reign over it any longer. Because death, where is your sting when we know who God is? And he then went and sat at the right side of the Father. And he gave us authority. And he says, you will do greater works than I did. And she looked at me. And I go, and that Jesus loves you. And she, tears in her eyes. You could feel God. I was having the hardest time speaking. And she said, well, he loves everybody. And I go, absolutely, he does. But today, specifically, he wants me to tell you he loves you. And she cried, and tears ran down her face. And I just didn't know what to do. Dan's like, why didn't you lead her to the Lord? And I said, it wasn't time. I could feel like God was like, I was planting seed. The owner of the shop is a Christian. So I went up, and she had just lost her brother-in-law. She was broken about it. And I said, hey, I know you're hurting right now, but you heard what I was talking to her about over there. I began to plant seed. I need you to water that. She goes, I will. And I said, okay, let's get her. Let's get her. It's going to be expensive, but I'm going to go after her. And I have to tell you, when I left, she never says goodbye to me. She doesn't even acknowledge I'm around. She's like, bye, Jessica. I'll see you in 2 weeks. I'm like, okay, bye. And I was like, I need to make an appointment for 2 weeks. You see, we take the gospel wherever we go. You are the gospel carrier. And Satan knows it, and he doesn't like it. He wants to get you defeated. He wants to get you to think, what's your purpose on this earth? Why are you still here? Oh, God, I'm just not good enough, or oh, nobody sees me. And God says, this is not about you. This is about them. You have everything you need for me. I need you to get out there and be my hands. I need you to get out there and be my feet. You need to get out there and tell Satan to go to hell and help people find Jesus. That's our jobs. That's our jobs, not just mine, yours too. You gotta have the shield of faith. 1 Peter says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests pure gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise, glory, and honor on the day that Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Your faith shows who God is. Salvation, you walk in this every day. You put on your helmet of salvation. Some of you mess up the night before. Guess what? You got to remind yourself, okay, I messed up. God, I'm coming before you. Forgive me. You don't have to come to the altar every time. You could just talk to God now. And you could say, I messed up, God. But I know I'm your child, so please forgive me. And you remind yourself, I am saved. I have been rescued already. I do not have to live in this any longer. And you put on your helmet of salvation, and you remind Satan, you don't get to mess with me, because I am saved and I am whole. And I am a child of the Most High. So when those thoughts, those fiery darts that Satan likes to throw at you, worry, fear, doubt, envy, jealousy, stress. Those are fiery darts. Words of gossip, words of defeat, rejection, abandonment. All of this is not from God. But yet, they're fiery darts, and Satan knows exactly how to get to us. You begin to put on your helmet and say, no, no, you don't get to come in anymore. Because I am a child of the Most High God. My God died on that cross so that I don't have to put up with you anymore. I cast you out, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And every thought that rises above the name of Jesus, you have no power over me. You begin to speak the word of God. And then there's the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This pierces through every evil, demonic thing that has been spoken over you. Every evil thing that wants to supernaturally come against you. How do you fight Satan? With the word of God. How do you do it? You begin to look up scripture and you begin to speak that scripture over yourself. Speak that scripture over the situation that you are finding yourself in. Maybe your marriage isn't where it should be. And you begin to talk out loud and you say, God has anointed my marriage. I have done my part. So Lord, get a hold of your son. Get a hold of your daughter. And Lord, those things that have them trapped, I pray you would release them from them. And I put a hedge of protection upon our marriage in the name of Jesus. You see, you begin to become a fighter. You fought in this world. It's time to fight against the powers of darkness coming against you. And you use it through the word of God. Because the word is what pierces through. It's what penetrates into the soul. I love this verse in Hebrews 4:12. And I'm going to use a Passion Translation. It says, for we have the living word of God. I love that. The living. It's not dead. It's not antiquated. It's not just a whole bunch of men that wrote it. No, the Holy Spirit inspired every single part of this word. Jesus says, I am the word. I am it. I brought you life. I was there in the beginning and now I am the word fulfilled. You see, he is living, and it says, for we have the living word of God. It is full of energy like the two-mouthed sword. Have you ever seen a sword that goes two ways? It will even penetrate the very core of your being, where your soul and your spirit is, the bone and the marrow meet. It's a very intricate cut, because sometimes we get confused on what the soul and the spirit is. The soul is your mind, will, and emotions. And the spirit is the spirit of God that lives in you. What spirit are you of? And God will begin to cut away those things that are not of him and begin to mold you into who he made you to be. He says, beautiful, only the word can do that. And the more you get this into you, did you know some of you may feel stupid? I was always told I'm a bad reader. I was always told that I was stupid. I had teachers tell me this. I had counselors in high school tell me this. I had to go through Breaking Free and write a letter to the school systems because I literally thought I was stupid. Then God asked me to preach, and I'm a big mouth, and I'm really opinionated. And all of a sudden, I was like, how am I going to talk, God? I don't say things the right way. I'm going to offend everybody. And he said, would you stop it? Because it is the word that you use that breaks the yoke. It's the power of the word of God that actually makes you smarter. They've done studies that they say that the more that you read the word of God, the smarter you get. So if you're having Alzheimer's or dementia, you need to begin to pray the word over your self-healing and reverse that. My grandma, she had Alzheimer's. We went to go visit her, and I love her. She was a funny woman. And, well, she was not normally a funny woman, but when she got Alzheimer's, she was really funny. And so she was just like telling us how cute we looked all the time, and she liked the colors in our clothes, and I literally was like, there's my mom. I didn't know where my mom is very trendy if you know her. She knows every color. She built this church. She designed it all. She is a mighty woman of God, and I always wondered when I met my grandma, where did my mom come from? She adopted because they were nothing alike, and yet here she was telling us, and Dan could be a witness to this, I don't remember much. In fact, my uncle's so messed up. He was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. When we go in, you need to tell her you're Debbie. And I'm like, that's mean. I'm not doing that. And so grandma was just delightful. And she goes, I love singing the hymns. But she goes, you know what I've never forgotten is my Bible. I can't read it anymore, but I memorized it. And it's the only thing I can remember. And it was edifying to her soul till the day she passed. Get the word in you, because that will be what keeps you, what anchors you. And no matter what's happening to you, the word of God is living and powerful. And it was a life source to her. In fact, it made her happy in her worst place. Isn't that cool? Matthew 4:4, I love this, and we just sang it. It says, but Jesus told them, no scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of their mouth. Number two that I had to share with my staff is you got to guard your heart. You got to pray. You have to pray always. And by praying always, you are guarding your heart from the enemy's attacks. Praying always. You go, that's a lot of praying. Well, just talk to God all day long. Never shut it down. Just bring him into everything. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful till the end with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. Prayer is your greatest weapon against Satan. I heard a Satanist talk. He's now redeemed, reconciled, restored. He's serving God. He's given his life over to the Lord. But he's now speaking to the Christian church and talking to the Christian body of Christ. And he said, when we would try and put curses, or we would try and put spells on churches, specifically even school systems, we will sit outside of school systems and we are parked in certain places and we put spells and cast them on people. And this is what he said. That should not put you afraid, because your children are covered by the blood of the Lamb. He said, I can always tell which children we can't touch because they have a blue circle around them. And that blue circle tells us that their mom and dad prayed for them before they left the house. And listen, church, you better be praying for your babies. You better pray every time they leave, every time they go. I pray over my kids all the time. I'll look on 360, get 360. It's so great. I'll be like, in the name of Jesus, they're going to get back to their dorm, okay? In the name of Jesus, they're not going to be stupid and get their truck stuck in mud again, in Jesus' name. And I pray and I ask God to cover them. Because why? Because Satan hates my kids. Guess what? He hates your kids too. Because if a new generation rises up and calls his name blessed and glorifies the name of Jesus and declares his works from one generation to another, Satan knows he has been defeated. And so, church, we got to start praying like we've never prayed before. You got to pray always. Remember, I talked about the cracks in your armor. You have to pray and repent every day. You say, every day, Pastor? Yes. Because Satan is coming after you. And anything that is left undone, it will be an open door for Satan to come in to kill, steal, and destroy. And so what are these open doors look like? Well, maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's rage and anger. Maybe it's adultery. Maybe it's drunkenness. What does the Bible say? Anything that is not of God is sin. And so what is it that is going on in our lives that we need to bring to the throne room of God? And we need to lay it down at the feet of Jesus. And so you can pray it in the morning and at night. You can pray throughout the day. When you say something that you know you shouldn't have said, you'd be like, oh, Lord, forgive me. I am pastor and I am not perfect. And my Nana taught me a word that I like using when people make me mad. I won't say what it is. It starts with an S and ends with a T. And it's not right that I use it. And I have been completely convicted about it. I'm using myself as an example so you all don't feel bad. But the bottom line is every time I'm saying, it comes out of my mouth without me knowing it's coming out. I'm like, ah, God, I'm sorry. And then I used to say, God, I'm sorry, but they make me so mad. He's like, does that matter? No, I'm sorry. Help me to love them the way you need me to love them. Help me to see them the way you need me to see them. And it begins to soften my heart to pray for people in a different way. That's what Satan doesn't want. And so listen, church, if I can do it, you can do it, okay? You can put the bottle down. You can put the drugs down. You can put it all down and ask God, you gotta pray for yourself. Lord, my mom makes me so mad, she hurts me, God. Lord, my uncle, he's violated me, but God, I have to be around him. And you know what? You protect yourself, you keep yourself out of those rooms and those spaces, but then you ask God to pray for their soul and their deliverance from Satan's hand. You see, that's the love of God. And that's the power of God. It's to pray for those who hurt you and spitefully use you. See, prayer does this. You can pray about everything. You can pray that God helps you become a better person. You can pray for those that are hurting and broken. You can pray that God teaches you a new way of thinking, a new way of seeing him. Did you know that you could pray to cast demons out? Did you know that? And they will flee. There's a story in the Bible, and he's a man, and he has a son, and his son is possessed with demons. And he brings his son to the disciples, and they pray over him, but he does not get delivered. So he goes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, "Jesus, could you please deliver him? This has been tormenting him." If you want to go with me to Matthew 9. It says, "So they brought this boy, but the evil spirit saw Jesus, and it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell on the ground, withering and foaming at the mouth." Verse 21. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy." Verse 22. "The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him." You think that's godly? No. And he says, "Have mercy on us." This is the dad. "Help us if you can." I love Jesus' response. He says, "What do you mean if I can?" Jesus asked, "Anything is possible if a person believes." And the father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but please help me overcome my belief." I love his humility in this moment. He was saying, "I believe now, but God, I have unbelief at times." And I think we can come to the throne room of God when we aren't fully there and say, "God, help me get there. Help me to believe for the impossible. Help me to see beyond what I can see. Help me to love beyond the way I can love." And he says, "Help me to believe." In verse 25, when Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked this evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear or speak," he said, "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." I love that Jesus was doing this because Jesus didn't have to say in the name of Jesus. He himself was the one doing it. If you ever find yourself in this situation, you just say, "In the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of them and send that thing back to hell." Don't play with it. Don't let it waste your time. Don't let it talk to you. You silence it and you command it to go. But in this one, in this story particularly, I loved that it said this. "And then the spirit screamed and threw this boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet and stood him up. Afterward, then Jesus was alone in the house with his disciples. And they asked him, 'Why couldn't we cast out this evil spirit?' And Jesus replied, 'This kind can be cast out only by prayer.'" Other versions say, "only by prayer and fasting." You see, Jesus was always in prayer, always in fasting. After he would go and minister to crowds, he would go get alone and he would recover with God. He would be with God. He would set aside time to be with God. So he was ready when that spirit came. It could not even touch Jesus. The power of God is so powerful, it will not be able to penetrate your lives, your homes, your minds, and your souls. But you gotta be in prayer consistently. You gotta guard your hearts against all evil, because out of it flow the issues of life. That's what it says in Psalms. John 14:12 says, "I tell you the truth, that anyone who believes on me in the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with my Father." Did you know that you have power over demonic forces? You have power over Satan's work against you. And I want you to think of things differently as you walk out these doors and you go home tonight. I want you to be reminded that God is for you and not against you, that you are a child of the Most High God, that you have the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, and you put it on every day. You repent before God every day. You come to the throne room of the Father and you bring your petitions and make them known. And when he's coming after your families, you get get some oil out and you wipe it on them. You wipe it on their doorways. Girls, you may need to wipe it on the pillow of your husband. You do what you need to do and you bind Satan and you get him out of your homes. You get him out of your lives and you tell him where to go. Go back to hell where you came from. You will not stay here. We have to take authority over these things. We have to plead the blood of Jesus over these things. I can go into a whole teaching about the blood. Satan understands the blood. That's why Satanists do sacrificial worship still, because they think that that blood is powerful. But I'm here to tell you, no blood is above the blood of Jesus Christ. And so tonight, you've been ransacked. You got some freedom tonight. Hold on to that freedom. When Satan comes trying to knock on you again, I want you to say, no, no, you don't get to come back. When those desires come back, you say, no, I am covered by the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony. I am not going there anymore. And you begin to change some patterns in your life, church. This is going to take some work on your behalf. It's going to take some declaration on your behalf. And it's going to take the faith of God working and reigning in you. But you can do this through the power of Jesus Christ. And so I want to sing one more time that the doorframe of my life. Because that verse, that song, is a declaration of who we are in Christ Jesus. And let me pray for you right now. And then Brian, after they sing, you can come up. Let me pray over you right now. How many of you have just been knowing you're under attack? Just your finances, your family, you're just like, you feel like it just never ends. Do you ever feel that way? Like, never ends, pastor. It's like never, you know, the saying, never dull. It's never dull. There's always something going on. But right now, if you want just freedom from that, and take authority over it. Stand. Let's stand. Let's believe God for some breakthrough. All right. Well, Lord, look at these beautiful people you made. They love you so much, God. They are important to you. Their children are important to you. Their marriages are important to you. Their finances and their homes. Lord, the futures of their families, the future of what it is you have for them. Right now, Satan, you have taken too much ground in their life. And we command you in the name of Jesus to let go of them, to break off of them. You will have no more power over their minds, their souls, their finances, their family. The division that has been given in these families right now, we break the assignments of Satan that has brought families into divided places. And Lord, we ask for restoration of families right now. Lord, we ask God, the peace of God to be in families right now. Lord, I pray that there would be reconciled relationships between fathers and sons and daughters and fathers. Lord, between mothers and daughters. Lord, we ask God that there'd be reconciliation back to the heart of God for them. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, God, that there'd be freedom from fear and peace would rule and reign. And Lord, marriages right now, God, every foul spirit that has come against marriages, we command you to let go, and that they are ordained by God, that God showed up to their weddings and that God sees them as a covenant, and you cannot break that covenant. And so in the name of Jesus, God, we pray healing in their homes. Lord, I pray they find the love for each other they haven't had in a long time. Lord, I pray that the peace of God would rule and reign in their homes again. And Lord, that their language and their speech would be full of faith and full of joy and full of goodness again, Lord. God, we ask, God, that no matter what Satan throws at us these next few weeks or even into the future, that God, that you would give us a discernment and that we will know instantly, oh, I know what's happening. And God, that you would give us the words to speak and the power to pray against the enemy. And Lord, that as your word goes forth, that it would break the enemy's agenda, it would break his plans, and they would not come to fruition in the mighty name of Jesus. And right now, everything Satan has taken from them, God, it says in your word that he has to give it back 7 times. So Lord, everything that's been robbed from them, everything that's been taken from them, Lord, I ask you would return it back 7-fold. And that they would come to a place of blessing and a place of strength and a place of encouragement and a place of the ability to continue on in endurance in the hard places. And Lord, that they would find the joy of the Lord in the middle of the hard valleys that they have to walk through. In Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we declare that you are God and God alone, and that you are mighty, you are awesome, you are holy in this place. And Lord, you are sovereign, and we look to you tonight, God. We look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. And God, we are not perfect people, but you are a perfect God. And so, Lord, we call upon the name of Jesus, and we plead the blood of Jesus over this church. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We plead the blood of Jesus over their homes. We plead the blood of Jesus on their finances. We plead the blood of Jesus over them, and we declare that they are healthy, whole, and that no weapon formed against them will prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, church, let's worship him because he's good.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.